Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of hope to raise faithful kids. I'm Tony Kolenk, a law professor, a writer with Practical Homeschooling magazine, and the author of the Harwood Mysteries fiction series for teens and young adults. By the way, as we head towards Lent, keep in mind that book two in my series, The Haunted Cathedral, is actually a great Lenten book to give as a gift. It actually takes place entirely during Lent and talks about some of the themes there, albeit it is in 12th century England. On today's show, we're going to be hearing from one teen pro-life leader about how we can get teens more engaged in protecting the culture of life. My guest is Hannah Blosser, president of Homeschool Connection Students for Life. My guest today is Hannah Blosser, a homeschooled senior in high school. She is the president of Homeschool Connection Students for Life, which is an official chapter of Students for Life of America. She loves the subject of history, which she tutors outside of school. She also loves literature and Latin, including Latin Mass. Most important, she's passionate about the pro-life movement. Hannah lives in Michigan with her family. Hannah, welcome to The Shepherd's Pie.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
And thank you so much for coming on. I heard you talking to Lisa Maladnik on Homeschool Saints on her podcast and was just very impressed with you. I know that my listeners will be really interested in hearing a little bit about who you are.
Well, like you said, I'm from Michigan. I am the daughter of a professor, so I've kind of always lived life in like a very academic atmosphere. And so I went to private school for most of my elementary, middle school education, and I started homeschooling in sixth grade. My dad, he teaches philosophy, so he's been a really great helper in my homeschool journey and has really nurtured a love for learning and a love for the faith, which I really enjoy. Like you said, I tutor history. That's like my job right now in high school. I hope to be a teacher someday, so that's kind of preparing me for that. I'm a senior currently, so I'll be attending college next year. My plans right now are to go to Christendom College in Virginia, where I'll probably major in history. Yeah, so that's just a little bit about my background.
So, but you've been homeschooled now since sixth grade. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
I don't know where I would be if I had not started homeschooling. It really has changed my outlook on life, I guess, and the way I learn. It allowed me to do so much more with my education, stuff that I wouldn't have been able to do before. And I think my dad actually was homeschooled too when he was younger. He went back and forth because he was a missionary kid. So he was in the US, then he was overseas. So it's kind of hard. But so we kind of have a history of homeschooling in our family. Yeah. So it's really been a great experience for me. The only thing that really I would complain about is that since I'm doing homework at home, it's easy to get distracted. And so deadlines are something I have trouble with a lot. But aside from that, homeschooling is the best thing ever.
What kind of homeschooling are you doing? Maybe for those who aren't as familiar with homeschooling, I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can be educated.
So I use an online program called Homeschool Connections, and basically they have two options. You can do live courses or recorded courses or a mixture of both. So that's what I do. And then I also have some on the side stuff. So like for Latin, I was tutored for 2 or 3 years by somebody at the seminary where my dad teaches. And now I'm doing dual enrollment at the seminary for college classes. So that's kind of my mishmash of homeschool things.
Yeah, that sounds pretty typical, I think, for today's homeschoolers. What about people sometimes criticize homeschooling because they get worried. In fact, somebody recently just came up to me and said, my daughter wants to homeschool my grandkids. What about this socialization thing? And that, you know, I'm afraid that they're going to be isolated and all that. What's been your experience with socialization?
Yeah, I've heard that complaint a lot. Honestly, I don't know where people get that idea because it's not true. I mean, at least for the most part. For Homeschool Connections especially, they really work on developing this community with their students. It's a really great way of getting to know fellow students. We do like game nights on there. We've done rosaries together via Zoom. And even in my church as well, I sing in choir, so that's how I get to know people. I have lots of friends from that. There really are a lot of opportunities for homeschoolers to socialize with teens their age, youth group, things like that. It's really easy, actually, if you just work hard at making friends.
So what about hobbies? Obviously, you're interested in pro-life, and we're going to talk about that in a second. You do tutoring for history. Any other hobbies get you out of the house?
I love horseback riding. So whenever I get the chance, I go out and ride. So that's one of them. I like hiking. I'm part of a pilgrimage group. So every other year, we do a pilgrimage to some shrine in the United States. So last year, we did the Shrine of the North American Martyrs in New York. And so that was like 2 weeks of hiking, camping, just getting out, enjoying the wilderness and God's creation. It was so fun. So yeah, that's basically what I like to do outside of school.
All right. So you have become the president of the Students for Life at Homeschool Connection. So that's the group you were just telling us about. So maybe tell us a little bit about how did you get interested in pro-life issues, so much so that you'd even become the president of an organization like that?
It's actually a really kind of funny story how I got to where I am right now. I did not mean to get involved in Students for Life at first because I was pro-life in name only, basically. Like, I didn't really think about it or what it meant. And then I went to see the film Unplanned, which came out recently, like a few years ago. Abby Johnson's story just really, it struck me. And I realized abortion is really, that's a serious issue. We really need to think about this more and talk about it more. Because at my age level, I mean, we talked about it like we're anti-abortion. Yeah, like definitely. But we never really got into it and talked about why. And so after that, I joined 40 Days for Life. I didn't really go out and do sidewalk counseling or anything like that, but I did the prayers like every time they have the 40-day period of fasting and praying, I would do that. Then a few years later, Homeschool Connections decided to start their own Students for Life group. Students for Life is, for those who don't know, it's one of the biggest national pro-life organizations in America, and it's mostly made up of teenagers and college students. So it's a really amazing group. I love them. And so Homeschool Connections started their own group, and I was like, oh, that might be cool. It might be a way to get myself more interested and involved in the movement. So I went to their first meeting and I said, yeah, sure, I'll sign on and become a newsletter editor because I like writing. And so I started working for the newsletter and I really enjoyed it. I got to write articles. I got to research and learn more about the pro-life movement. Through that, I just got more and more involved and fell more and more in love with this work. So when the time came around for our elections in the group, my friend Grace, who is the former president, she asked me if I wanted to become president. And at first I thought, no, I can't do that. That's a little too much for me. I like being an editor. I'll stick with this. But I was the only person who ran because nobody wants the responsibility of being president. So I said, okay, fine, I'll become president. And so I did. And here I am now, a few months after that, and just really enjoying my work. It's hard at times, but I really love it. And I love doing as much as I can to support this movement.
Yeah, and I've got bad news for you. Most organizations that you get involved with throughout your life are the same way. It's like, oh, you want to get involved? Can you be our president? Can you be our secretary? So yeah, that's pretty par for the course. Now, your group, when I went on your website, the studentsforlife.homeschoolconnections.com, it talked about the group and how you guys are a chapter of a larger organization, Students for Life of America. Do you ever get involved with that larger organization?
Sometimes. So every chapter of Students for Life has their own regional coordinator. So we do work with them to figure out like what our group is going to do throughout the year. So every fall, so at the beginning of the school year, we have a meeting with our coordinator and he tells us like what's going on with Students for Life of America and what can we do to kind of take part in that. And it's a little harder for us since we're a virtual group because we have members from all across the United States. Fun fact, we're actually the first completely virtual group from Students for Life. So yeah, it's a little harder for us, but we do as much as we can with Students for Life. We do have fundraisers via Zoom. We'll do like, we did a talent show last Christmas and raised a bunch of money. We have speakers come who are like well-known pro-life activists. We've done apologetics nights, that kind of thing. And the National Pro-Life Summit, which is the day after the March for Life.
Your group on the website talks about different events and activities that you put on. Some of these sound really amazing. Can you tell us some of the activities that you've been involved in?
The virtual baby showers and fundraisers like that, that's one of our biggest things we do because they're actually quite easy to do with a virtual group. The lady who runs the clinic that we were doing a diaper drive for, she sent us pictures of all the boxes that had been sent because we did like an Amazon registry. So people could go there and they could buy what the pregnancy clinic needed. So she sent these pictures of just piles and piles of boxes of diapers that she needed. It's really amazing what happens when a group comes together and really puts in an effort to support something. And by doing, like I said, the talent show for Christmas and different events, having speakers come. And it's really fantastic that we've been able to do that. And then other events such as like writing letters, we just did writing letters to our representatives, our state representatives, because of the recent elections. I was like, you know, it'd probably be a good idea to write to our representatives, you know, just to say like, there are pro-lifers out there. If there's anything you can do to, you know, stop the passing of this abortion legislation, then please like do something. Yes, we've done writing letters to abortion workers. We did that last year. And essentially, you just tell them, there are people out there, we're praying for you, we're supporting you. Like if you ever realize really what you're doing, it'll really be hard for you, but we want you to know that we're here for you and you're in our prayers. And just being supportive, letting them know that we're not trying to condemn them in any way, but that the pro-life movement is really supportive. We're not just saying, oh, you're killing babies. We're saying you're a person, people make mistakes, and we're there for you if you need help with anything. And I know 40 Days for Life, they constantly, I get emails saying like so many abortion workers quit this year because of our prayers and our activism. And it's really amazing.
You called yourself earlier pro-life in name only. So it was seeing this movie that actually moved you. But, you know, a lot of kids grow up and they're pro-life in name only because their family's pro-life or whatever. But then they go off to high school or college and suddenly become pro-choice. And sometimes radically pro-choice. And even if they've come from families that support pro-life, have you had interactions or any friends that have sort of gone in the other direction?
Not really in my own like friend circle. Family-wise, definitely. Like I have family members who are pro-choice and it's just something they don't really talk about when they're around me or like my parents, my dad, just because they know that we're pro-life. I think it really has to do with the formative years of like high school and college. And if you go to a place that's very pro-choice and you're just influenced by the people around you, and if you hear constantly like pro-choice is the right way to go, you got to be pro-abortion, this is a woman's right, you're going to, of course, start thinking that way because you don't want to be the odd one out. It's just, it's really sad that that happens, but it's human nature. I mean, I think that's kind of why I kind of was pro-life in name only, just because my family was pro-life, so I was pro-life. And it really takes that extra like push to really realize what you believe in. And I think a lot of pro-choice people, if they had that push and realized what being pro-choice actually meant, it would probably change a lot of minds.
So let's talk about that for a few minutes then. What do you think are effective ways that parents, you know, grandparents, youth leaders, teachers, whoever, when they're interacting with teenagers, how do we help really foster more of this culture for life in our teens, especially where the mainstream media seems to be pushing so heavily in the other direction?
I think the biggest thing is leading by example. If you have a really strong parental figures in your life, or even just adults who you look up to, who are pro-life and who live that every day, then you'll be more open to that culture of life. And I think especially like if you have a big family or you're around big families constantly, seeing that love of life and the love of children really supports that. Like my brother has 10 kids. So being around all my nephews and nieces, I really love that. And it kind of just instills in me this love for like babies and for supporting life. And just, it makes me wonder, like, how could anybody be against this? I love this. I love big families. Yeah. So definitely leading by example. I know it's also very important to have a good father figure in your life. It sounds weird, but actually father figures play a bigger role in the development of children and of teenagers, especially. The mother does play a big role, but if you have a father figure who's always very grounded, very solid in what he believes in, especially in this case, in the pro-life movement, in supporting life, the children will follow, because wherever dad goes, you're going to want to go too. The mother as well, though, because if she's loving with her children, if she's always willing to be there for them, then you're going to see motherhood is such a great thing. Why would you want to take that away from someone?
Yeah, now you get involved in some things. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to pray outside of an abortion facility, go to the March for Life, or be in local marches for life. Have you had encounters with the other side where you have an opportunity to kind of see what, you know, what their point of view is or what the reaction is?
At the March for Life last year, there actually wasn't as much pro-choice pushback as expected, but there were a few people. Basically, their tactic is like yell as loud as you can and like cuss as much as you can, and maybe the other side will back down. They have a really illogical way of trying to push back against you, because their arguments, if you really think about them, don't have like really any good grounding. There's a few pro-abortion arguments that are a little trickier to navigate, but the ones I've heard and like the people I've seen on the street, they try to be loud, they try to be angry. It can be scary, but really, if you think about it, the pro-life movement is so much bigger. We have God on our side, and like there shouldn't be anything we should be afraid of.
So what do you think are some of the trickier arguments, or the ones that you think, if they're not handled right, could make some traction with people on the pro-choice side?
There's one, I think it's called the violinist argument. It has to do with basically the greater good. So like, would it be better to kill a person or for yourself to die or something? That kind of argument can really get into somebody's head. Like, is it better to let yourself die or to let this other person die? Because that's often something that they'll bring up. Like, is it better to kill that baby or is it better to kill the mother? And of course, people will be like, wait, that's neither of those options are good. What do I do here? And learning how to really just stay calm and like take a step back and say, okay, what are you really trying to say in this argument? What's the root of this argument? And how can I convince this other person what the logical answer would be? Or if their logic really is off by something, because often you can tell, there's like a slight little feeling you get, like there's something in this argument that doesn't seem correct. And you just have to really dig into it and figure it out.
All right. So you are, how old are you? 17?
17.
All right. So you're a 17-year-old young woman. You are the exact person that a lot of times the pro-choice movement is saying, you know, you're the reason you need reproductive freedom. Because if you were to get pregnant outside of marriage, you've got your whole life in front of you. You might want to go to college, have a career, whatever, whatever. And if you don't, you know, have women have this right to be able to basically live their lives, you are seriously going to impact the rights of women. So as a young pro-life woman, what do you do with that argument, or what do you think of that argument?
First of all, like something like having a baby shouldn't stop you from something. Maybe it'll put a pause on what you want to do with your life, but it shouldn't stop you from what you want to do. Like I just read recently from 40 Days for Life, there was a young woman who became pregnant while she was in college, and she graduated valedictorian of her class with her baby on her hip. So you can't be a mother and pursue college, pursue a career. It's hard, but you can do it. Really, motherhood is such a great thing, even if it comes about by, you know, really not so great circumstances. It's something that you shouldn't be afraid of. Sure, it is scary at times, but like I said, it shouldn't stop you from doing what you want to do. And there are resources out there. I think that's one thing the pro-choice movement will say, like, nobody's going to be there to help you. Like, you're going to be a single mother. You're going to be all alone. You won't be able to find the financial means. But really, no, that's not true. There are lots of people out there, like Students for Life, 40 Days for Life, the Susan B. Anthony list. There are all these people out there who are really willing to help these mothers and to help you get where you want to go. People like me, like young women who are there to support you. There are people who are willing to adopt your kids if you feel like you can't support your children. Yeah, so there's just a lot of options out there. And it doesn't just have to be if you have a baby, your life, that's it. That's all you can do is raise this kid. You can't go to college. You can't have a career. That's the end of the line for you.
So you mentioned that there was some legislation in Michigan in this last cycle. Maybe describe that and what do you think of the result?
Yeah, so here in Michigan, we have what's called Proposal 3. In other states, it goes by different names, but it's basically the same thing. And here in Michigan, it means what they call it is reproductive freedom for all. The basic main point of it is that abortion is legal for anybody, even if you're a minor, and you can have an abortion without parental consent. So it's a really, really bad piece of legislation. And the majority of Michigan is very conservative, very Christian, but it's the big cities like Detroit, where I live, Lansing, Marquette, that pushed this. And it's really sad that this happened. And a lot of people are wondering, like, do we give up now? Because, you know, Roe was overturned, we were super happy, but now abortion is legal in Michigan and it has even more horrible side effects than before. But really, it was sad when I heard about it, but I don't think it's a reason to be depressed. I honestly think it provides more of a motive for us to join together to be stronger and to just start fighting back even more than ever. Because after Roe was overturned, we knew it was going to be brought to the local and state levels, this fight against abortion. And in states like Michigan, that fight's going to be harder than we expected. But hey, we overturned Roe, which was a national piece of legislation. I think we can handle a state level one. I think we can change enough hearts and minds to change this.
Yeah. And what you just said, they're changing hearts and minds. The reality is, I mean, even if it were illegal, there would still be opportunities for women to get abortions, whether it's out of state or even through illegal means within the state. So I guess, how do you change the hearts and minds of a teenager who is contemplating abortion in a state like Michigan? What do you say to them that would, you know, make them want to keep their baby, do you think, if you have a friend who comes to you or something like that?
I think, first of all, the biggest thing to confront is that when you first find out that you're pregnant, and if you're a young woman, you just immediately think like, oh, this is horrible. My parents are going to kill me. Like, this is the worst thing ever. Like, especially if you're in a bad situation. If you're in like a really good relationship with your family, it's going to be a little less depressing for you because you'll be like, okay, I can go to my parents and they'll be there for me. But a lot of teens don't feel that way. They think, my parents are going to murder me. This is going to be horrible. So they immediately go to abortion. They're like, I have to get rid of this baby. And they may not even think this is a baby. They might even just think this piece of tissue in my body that will become a baby and I have to get rid of it. And so really you have to confront them where they are and just at first very calmly like tell them, okay, you need to take a deep breath and just step back for a minute because you're feeling a lot of emotion right now. Like this is a really rough thing for you to go through. And you need to just calm down. And like if you're Christian or Catholic, like pray a minute. Just think about it. God is still with you no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through. Then like talk about it with them and just give them their options. Because a lot of young women think that abortion is their only option and it's not. And you can say, you know, if you want to keep this baby, because deep down, a lot of women do really want to keep their babies and they just feel like they don't have the means to do that. So you can tell them if you want to keep your child, you can. Like I can find somebody to help you or you can give your baby up for adoption. Like, I'm sure there's a loving family out there who would love to adopt your baby. And still, you could have a relationship with them still. Like, just not always be the financial support there. So it's really just a matter of showing that this young woman is loved. Because often they feel like nobody will love them after they become pregnant. And it's not true. We all want to support them. We want to be there for them.
Yeah, I think you've really hit on the key pieces there. And great advice that hopefully not too many people have to give. That brings us to our entertainment segment. And I know you already mentioned one movie. So on the other end of this, I want to hear a little bit more about pro-life movies in our entertainment segment. In our entertainment segment, we like to ask our guests about a movie or a book that they would recommend to families. And I asked Hannah if she could think of one that specifically related to pro-life issues that teenagers might really respond to. And so what did you bring us, Hannah?
The first one I would recommend definitely is Unplanned, which is about Abby Johnson, who's one of the biggest pro-life activists in America. But it really tells her story and it really brings to light the reality of abortion. And that's what really struck me and got me into the pro-life movement in the first place. And while it's not a movie for everybody, it's definitely for older teens and adults. It's really good and really, it shows how powerful God's mercy is and how amazing it can be to repent and come to see the light, to see the truth. Again, Abby Johnson, she's amazing. She's one of like my biggest pro-life heroes. Her story, her testimony is really, really powerful. And so I highly recommend that.
And Abby Johnson also ran her own abortion clinic back before she became one of the big pro-life advocates that you mentioned. What was it about that movie in particular that really resonated with you as a teenager?
I think the fact that, you know, like you said, she was definitely deeply involved in the abortion movement. And so she ran her own abortion clinic. She received awards from Planned Parenthood for being such a good manager. She had two abortions herself. And I think it really shows you what abortion does to someone because it sticks with you for the rest of your life that you did that. And you can see it in Abby Johnson. Like she was really hurting. She felt this pain that she could never get rid of for aborting her two children, which at the time she didn't think were children. She thought they were just clumps of cells, like a lot of pro-choicers think. And then one day, though, she saw an ultrasound when a doctor was performing an abortion, and she saw the shape of a baby, and she realized that's a child that they're killing, and I can't do this anymore. This is horrible. So that really hit me because I realized these are children. These are the future of America, of the world, and they're just getting rid of them like they're garbage, basically, and it's horrible. So her immediate turnaround to become pro-life was just amazing. It really hit me.
Wonderful. All right. Unplanned. Definitely saw that and would recommend it for older teens. Like you say, there's definitely some strong content in there because of what it deals with. But I know you wanted to mention one other movie before we go.
Yeah, there's one I actually just discovered it recently. It's called Dance and Drum. And it's about a young boy with Down syndrome. And it's very short documentary. It's like 20 or 30 minutes. And it was directed and maybe produced as well by a former student from Homeschool Connections. So that's how I heard about it. And it was really well done. It's about a young man. He's probably in his early 20s. So, you know, not far from how old I am. And it's about his life with Down syndrome and how his family decided to choose life and to support him, even though a lot of doctors were saying, you know, he'll never have a normal life, which isn't true. Down syndrome people can have amazing lives. They're some of the happiest people I've ever seen. So that kind of hits on another part of the pro-life movement that we don't often talk about, which is people like Down syndrome persons who have disabilities that may inhibit their lives and make them seem like they can't have a full life. But that's something the pro-choice movement will try to push is like, these people aren't fully people, like they say about babies and about fetuses. But these are people too. And like we say in the pro-life movement, it's from womb to tomb. So no matter who you are or what disabilities you may have, like you're a person still, and we want to support you and treat you as equals.
Wonderful. And that's Dance and Drum. It's the story of Evan Williams, directed by Simon Michael. Is that the former student you were talking about?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, great. Hannah, it has been wonderful having you on the show. Is there any website if people wanted to learn more about, you know, what you're involved in?
Yeah, for sure. You can go to our Students for Life website, which would be studentsforlife.homeschoolconnections.com. And there you can read our newsletter and you'll find, I think our email address is on there. You can sign up for our newsletter if you'd like to receive it. And you can also just find more about our group there.
Great. And Hannah, thank you again for being on the show and for all you're doing and all that I know you're going to do in your future, not just on this important question, but I'm sure on a whole lot of different things. So thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this.
And unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. We've been speaking with Hannah Blosser about culture of life for our teens. Again, this is Anthony Barone Kolenc. If you have a question or a topic you'd want me to cover, drop me a line on my website at antonykolenc.com. You can also visit my website to learn more about my historical fiction series for teens, The Harwood Mysteries. Until next time, may God bless you and your families as we work together to raise faithful kids.